Hey, it's Scotty. Thanks for checking out the podcast. You know what? I talked to my friend Ryan Shiverini, who, if you are not from Chicagoland area, you may not be super familiar with him. He's the host of Windy City Live. He's also a musician. He's always jumping up on stage at all of the different bars that are huge country bars here in Chicago. Plus, he has a good idea of what it's like to do TV production behind the scenes and what that looks like during COVID in these times. So, super interested to get his perspective on everything that went down at the ACM. So let's get into it with Ryan.
Hello.
Hey, Ryan, it's Scotty.
Hey, what's up, Scotty?
How are you, man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
Good. Are you just getting off filming, or?
Yeah, we just got done with the show. We're back in the studio, and we're back live.
You know what? It's crazy because when I was watching the ACMs last night, and I was thinking about everything that was going on during the show, you like popped into my head right away as someone that kind of like understands what they're going through in some sense, on like so many different levels, because you were not only are you deep rooted in music here in Chicago. Obviously, I see you jump on stage at Bub City when I don't know if you're drunk and getting up there and doing it, or you just love playing so much. You've played like on Joe's on the stage on both Rosemont and Weed Street. And so you have this love for country music, but also watching like Keith Urban, I was watching the show and I'm like, man, it must be really hard to do that with nobody in front of you. And you're talking to millions of people and there's literally no one in front of you. And then I stopped for a second. I was like, wait, you and I do that every single day.
Yes, yes. And obviously, like for our show, that the audience, we're so used to it, so it's so weird. It's like radio, like people have, since the beginning of time, radio really hasn't had like an audience in the studio, right? So just sort of used to talking to that like abstract viewer. But for us, we're so used to it that it's so weird not having it.
It's definitely a different skill set, right? Like, I mean, you have to mentally be in a different place. Just as being a live entertainer of things that I've done in the past, it's a different energy to when you have an instant feedback from people.
Yeah, it is. And sometimes like you don't know if a joke is funny,
right,
or if you just totally miss.
Well, in my case, I assume it's not. So,
yeah, I like to think that my jokes always hit and it's just that there's no audience there.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could actually give us some behind the scenes stuff of like what happens in a production like that in this like kind of COVID area time, I guess, because I mean, people are trying to stay away from each other. It's got to be a lot more difficult, right?
Yeah, so what we're doing now, since we got back in studio, we only come in to do the show. We do all of our meetings on Zoom, and then we prep at home, and we literally come into the studio, masks on, hit the makeup chair real fast, go onto the set, do the show, and then we don't even have a meeting after the show anymore. We just leave.
Yeah, so I can imagine that's kind of what happens, like, right, for the ACMs. They probably ship, get everybody in one person at a time, stay in separate.
Yeah, and I saw they use three different venues, so that helps too. And then no audience, and those are big venues, so they can social distance. But, yeah, totally different world that we're living in, and really, like, makes you miss crowds. It makes you miss music. It makes you miss stadium concerts. I think that's what I really miss the most as a music lover and a musician. It's that energy that you get from a crowd, and when everybody's singing the chorus to a song that you love, you know, that's part of the magic. I mean, I've been able to see some amazing concerts at Wrigley, and it's everyone singing at Wrigley Field. You look around, you're thinking, wow, I'm at Wrigley Field in the outfield, and we're all singing, you know, whatever song it is. It's like I saw one of Tom Petty's last performances. It was at Wrigley, and you just miss those moments.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different energy. Did you like the show? Did you get to watch a lot of it yesterday?
Yeah, I watched it. It definitely felt different. You know, when they would make an announcement on a winner, it just felt weird. You know, and like Carrie Underwood was like, "Hey, 2020, man."
Right.
She kind of summed it up. You know, but all things considered, I thought they did a really good job. You know, I think that the beauty of country music is the unity of it. And, you know, you saw Eric Church, his song about teachers. And, you know, I just think that that's the beauty of country. And it's certainly getting, you know, way more diverse and inclusive than people give it credit for. And I think that that is another beautiful thing. It's you never hear about country singers, you know, writing a bad song about each other or trying to, you know, put someone down. It's all about collaboration. And I mean, I thought that collaboration Pink was awesome last night.
Yeah, not a lot of diss tracks going on in country music.
No, no. And Cardi B's new song, you won't hear that in country music.
Right, yeah. That's funny. So you got to watch a bunch of it. I actually thought, I agree with you. I think they did a really good job. It's actually, I'm not a huge fan of award shows, and I think I enjoyed that more than I have most award shows in the past. It was pretty seamless and flawless. I know a lot of it was pre-recorded just because of the logistics of doing it, as far as some of the performances goes, but I don't know. I thought it was done so well, especially because of the circumstances.
Yeah, you know what? And I think there was something like 40 performances last night. So I think that's the most performances they've ever done. And really, I agree with you on award shows. Like, I want to see the performances. When you watch the Oscars, everyone's doing these speeches that are too long, and right. The show ends up going 4 hours. I think more performances is always the key, and I think they did a really good job at kind of moving it along. I also thought it was weird that everybody is upset about Carrie Underwood and Thomas Rhett splitting Entertainer of the Year. Like, does it really matter? Given everything going on in the world right now, I mean, it was kind of a beautiful thing, if you ask me. Like,
yeah.
I don't understand why people are upset about that. We have so many other things going on in our country. Relax. Like, does anybody even remember who Entertainer of the Year was 2 years ago? No. So it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
I was going to ask you about that just from the sense of, because I think there are a lot of different opinions when it comes to sharing that award. I personally, my first reaction, because I really wanted Carrie Underwood to win it. One, she hasn't. Two, not a lot of women get the opportunity to win it. So I was like, oh, I kind of wanted her to not have to share it. And when you look back, does it feel tainted? I don't know. I guess I really didn't know the answer to that, but that left a lot of questions. And I was like, oh, I kind of want to have her an unquestionable win, you know? And now I think all of them deserve it, which is why they were nominated for it. So it's a hard one to go to decide in the beginning, but something felt weird about that still for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm certainly, you know, a feminist and support that. But I think that, you know, I played college football, and we won the national championship in 1990, right before I got there, and we shared the national championship with Georgia Tech. And guess what? If you ask any Colorado fan if we shared the national championship, they don't even know. It doesn't matter to them. They were national champions. And so sure. I think if you look at it that way, it's like Carrie Underwood is the Entertainer of the Year. Great. And Thomas Rhett can say he's the Entertainer of the Year. I just think there's that's such fair. Bigger things. And I understand it for the movement aspect of it, I guess, if that's
yeah.
what we're discussing, but at the same time, I just think it's not, we shouldn't make too big of a deal of it. It's great for both entertainers, and they're both fantastic, and they were both incredibly gracious about it.
Oh yeah, I mean they're pros and they're friends, and yeah, I think that's one thing about country music, and I think I even tweeted that last night. Like, there's no other genre that is as supportive of each other as country music, and it's so good to see that kind of stuff happen on social and in real life and whatever the case may be. It's super nice.
Yeah, I've gotten a chance to cover the CMAs, and just to see, well, that was when they had red carpets. Remember those days?
Yeah.
And
back a year and a half ago.
Yeah. To see, you know, like Garth Brooks come down the red carpet and just, you know, shaking everybody's hands, hugging everybody, like everyone's like a fan of each other.
Right.
And that's the beauty of the genre. And it's one of the biggest appeals for me. It's like everyone really seems to be a big fan of one another. And I thought it was awesome to see Taylor Swift finally back on a country stage. I mean, she's so talented. It can do just about any genre of music. But it was cool to see her come back to her roots.
That whole situation when Taylor kind of crossed over back to like more leaning more pop was so weird because there is such a huge, deep rooted culture within country music that when somebody like that crosses over, they were like mad at her. It was like, it felt so weird that was the case. Like, go let her do her thing. And then, you know, eventually that all sizzled out and I don't think anybody cares anymore. But she is so deep rooted in country that I'm glad that genres are so gray right now, right? And you have artists crossing over and different sounds, and you have like hard rock guys that are like a Hardy that's got like a grunge sound going now, and a Kane Brown that's doing hip hop tracks, and you know, I love that. I love that about music because I think it's really hard to put music as an art in a box. and you're a guy that plays, I mean, you play, I've seen you play multiple genres and when it comes to that. So I think it would be hard for you to be like, yeah, I'm a country guitarist, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And music is music, you know, and great music is becoming a lot more collaborative. I mean, you remember in the 80s when Run DMC and Aerosmith, you know, did Walk This Way together. It was so crazy to see that. And then, you know, now we're seeing so much more crossover. And even when Nelly, you know, did the song with Florida Georgia Line,
Cruise, yeah.
That was cool. And now we're starting to see more and more artists that are not typically, you know, country stars starting to do country music, which I think is awesome. I mean, you see Justin Bieber, right? He did the song with, and I'm blanking on the name now.
Dan and Shay, yeah.
Yeah, Dan and Shay, yeah.
He's up for CMA awards now, too.
Yeah, it's so crazy, but I think it's really good for country as a whole because I think there's still some stereotypes about it and then it's put in this little box, and I think more and more people are saying, oh, wow, that's country, you know, because I have friends still that go, oh, I don't like country. Why do you like country so much? And I'm like, you don't know what country is. That's
right,
why. And
right.
So I'll play them some tracks and they'll be like, oh, yeah, this is Bieber. I like this. Or this is, you know, whatever artist. And I think that it's really starting to, you know, change everyone's perception of what all kind of genres of music are.
Yeah. You mentioned Eric Church's performance yesterday. And I like to see some of those messages. I thought there were three really powerful, as far as messages performance that came out. One was Mickey Guyton. And she is super special. The other was Kane Brown's The Worldwide Beautiful. I thought was probably one of my favorite moments of the show. And then Eric Church with that song Stick It In Your Country Song, where he is the guy that can say that, right? He could say, hey, let's talk about diversity and equality and the lack of inclusion in the world, and let's step away from, if you're going to put your beer, your truck, and your girl in your song, let's take all these other things and stick it in your song too. And those were a couple of my, like, as far as powerful performances that I love. Did you have favorite performances from last night?
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. I think those were all powerful, had strong messages, and I think that's, again, another thing that's so great about the genre. I mean, when Luke Combs wrote the song 6 Feet Apart, I've been listening to that, like, nonstop, and obviously, you know, he took home Male Artist of the Year. But anything that he does is incredible, but I just think, again, going back to Taylor, I think seeing her back on the country stage for me was kind of like, I don't know, I was a little nostalgic because I watched the documentary on her and saw kind of what she's been through since she left country music. And so that was kind of a special performance. But definitely Eric Church was powerful and meaningful and something that kind of makes you think. And I guess I like songs that stop and make you think.
Yeah. You know what did you see right at the beginning, the Old Dominion performance?
You know, I only saw highlights of that.
So they did it like an arrangement medley of all of their songs. And if you see any, a lot of concerts, especially pop concerts that have people that have a lot of hits or features, you know, they kind of weave songs in and out. Or I think my best reference for it is like when Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake did their concert together. I don't know if you went to that, but they like weave their songs in and out of each other like it was a DJ mixing their songs. And that's kind of what Old Dominion did with their arrangements, and it was so good, and it was like delicate but powerful, and it was I suggest you watch that performance. I think you'd have a big appreciation being a musician yourself for that one.
Yeah, here's what's so crazy about Old Dominion. So Windy City Smokeout, about, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, I had a buddy who was like, hey, we got to go to the 5 o'clock performance. I'm like, 5 o'clock? Who goes to a concert at 5 o'clock when it's an all-day festival? He's like, no, I got to see this band. They're called Old Dominion, you know? And I said, well, I don't know who they are. He goes, you know all the songs they wrote. They wrote a bunch of songs for all these other artists, and they'll perform them all, you know, tonight. I said, all right, fine. We went and saw Old Dominion. There's only a handful of people at the Smokeout at this hour. You know, they're getting ready for the big nights and the big closers.
Right.
We watched this band, and I became an instant fan. And I was like, why is this band not bigger? And then, of course, I found out they moved to Nashville all to be writers, and then they ended up forming their band. And they were just a small little opener band, and now look at them. It's just incredible.
Yeah, and even now I still think they're underrated for how good they really are. They have hits for days, and I think they'll continue. And they're really good dudes. I think they were spreading some good messages last night on the show, too. They all wore their masks out there. They thanked and made sure they recognized, like, the crew, that they didn't get to, you know, that they haven't been able to work with and haven't been working and things like that. It's good to see that people.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. They deserve all their success for sure. But it's just crazy because I remember going to the smokeout at the United Center and they were the closer, you know, and I'm thinking, gosh, I've seen them at the smokeout now twice, and to see them go from, you know, hardly anybody watching them to now what they are. And Thomas Rhett kind of has a kind of a similar story too. You know, his father's obviously famous and a great writer, Rhett Atkins, and he's kind of in the shadow a little bit and kind of just an opening guy. And now, I mean, he gets, you know, entertainer of the year.
I love that when you get to see, and you and I are kind of in a place where we do get to see a lot of people at the beginning, at the start of these things, whether they come through for press or promo or whatever, and then you get to see them evolve into the superstars or wherever they end up being. One of my favorites is like Kelsey Ballerini. I did a concert with her at a shoe store, like a DSW shoe store, and now she's up doing the ACMs on and you know at the Opry and all that stuff. It's crazy. It's so fun to see the evolution.
Oh, it's the best. And even just hosting a show. So I mean, obviously this isn't country music, but it could be soon. Chance the Rapper. We were you know the one of the first shows to ever have him on TV, and I remember our producer said, "Hey, this kid." It's going to be big, you know. We're like, okay, fine, book him. So he came on, did his thing. Nobody knew who he was in our crowd, in our audience. And then within 6 months, you know, he blows up. Ed Sheeran, same thing. We were one of the first American TV shows he did. And within 4 months, he was doing the Grammys. It was just wild.
You know what's funny is you and I have something we didn't know in common. So I was the first one to put Chance the Rapper on radio. Here, when I was at Kiss FM, I was doing the night show, and so I did a local music segment every week, and I had this 17-year-old kid come up with his Twitter following and his tank top, and I like threw I think Facebook fans on our Facebook at him, and I was like, hey, throw these into a rap, just rap about these people on the Facebook or on our Facebook. And he crushed it, and he came up a couple other times, and he was like the nicest, most genuine dude, and then becomes one of the biggest superstars in the world, and it's like, it's the craziest stuff to see.
Yeah, you know, and it's so nice when you see it happen to nice guys, and he hasn't changed a bit.
So nice.
Ed Sheeran, I obviously haven't seen since he did our show, but he was one of the sweetest guys, too. So it's good to see good things happen to good people, and I'm just continuing to be nice to people and playing at Bub City and waiting for my day.
Yeah, so what are your musical, like, you and I have never really talked about that. Do you have, like, musical aspirations that you want to, that you would pursue, or is it kind of like a side thing, or where's your head at?
You know, I mean, everyone has a pipe dream, right? I mean, my pipe dream, yeah, I would love to do music. But, I mean, for me, it's a passionate hobby, and I've had a chance to meet so many great artists and see them up close just as you have. And you start realizing, you're like, wow, I'm not Michael Jordan. I can play, and I can sing, and, you know, I can release music and do it for fun. But to see some of the greatest singers I've witnessed in person still struggle to make it in that industry.
Yeah.
You start realizing, wow, I'm probably pretty good at keeping my day job, but get to moonlight and have fun. Once we get past all this craziness, we can get back to performing. But I'm doing a lot of writing right now, and I'm going to record a couple new songs. And for me, it's kind of just a kick, and it's cool to have it on Spotify. And, you know, my buddy's singing, my family loves it. And, you know, it's just a good, passionate hobby because my pops has made his living as a musician and singer for 50 years, you know, going back to the 60s. He was playing with the Boys and Sonny and Cher and all that. So my love of music comes from him, but I didn't quite get as much talent as he has.
Yeah, well, it's not an easy life. I think you're right. I think we've seen a lot of people in the industry, but also, like, that's why I don't dance as much. Like, people, I did So You Think You Can Dance, and people asked about that experience. I was like, it's like the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life as far as, and I'm still, and we're both still in the entertainment field, but that, I mean, going to audition after audition and going and doing this TV show, and I'll never forget, we were sitting in this restaurant in LA off of the City Walk. And all the people that I was on the show with were kind of like all chit-chattering and talking. And I had no idea. I was like, what are you guys talking about? They were talking about the waiter. The waiter was one of Britney Spears' backup dancers. And I was like, that is just a perfect metaphor for like how hard this life is. Like, there was nobody bigger to dance for than Britney Spears, right? And it's just, that's the life, man. That is the life. It's a hard life.
Yeah, he should have pulled the Kevin Federline and married her.
Yeah, that's one way out of the cycle, right?
But yeah, it is crazy. If you go to LA, I always say when you're in LA, you will see the most attractive wait staff that you've ever seen in your life. You know? Like everybody is trying to be an actor. And so, you know, for me, I'm pretty realistic. It's like, I would love to write some stuff and maybe try to have a famous recording artist, you know, record it or something like that. That would be amazing.
That's where the big money is, man. You start writing some stuff and then you just let it go. You let it go make money for you.
That's right. Because I know Jason Aldean's going to be able to sing it better than me anyway. So it's a win-win. But for me, I mean, I just love doing it. And I miss, you know, being able to play, and I miss, you know, that live music feel is so different than hosting a TV show. You know, they're just totally different energies.
Yes. It's an adrenaline rush that you can't explain to anyone that's never done it. I try to tell people all the time, like, for some reason, and I think you're a lot like me too, where I'm most comfortable on a stage in front of X amount of thousands of people. Like, you feel at home, right?
Yeah, you do. You get used to it. And I always tell people that are coming up in TV, I said, hey, if this makes you so nervous, I'll be like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'm like, you got to either get over that, or you got to pick something else. Because if this doesn't, you don't feed off that a little bit and get a little bit of adrenaline, you know, then this is not the right profession. And it's not for everybody, you know. I think that just like music, I always say surfing, right? If you watch surfing on ESPN, those guys will make it look so easy, right? Because they're pretty good at it. They work hard at it, but they have a skill to do it. Anybody in any profession, you sort of have to have a skill, a passion for it, and then you've got to kind of develop that talent. But being nervous, if you can't get over that, then this is the wrong business.
Yeah, I mean, a certain kind of nervous is kind of nice to feel every once in a while, right? Like, you still, I don't know if it's a respect, or you still, like, enjoy it so much that you feel a little, maybe it's more, you're more anxious to go do it than it is nervousness, but that's a to me, that's a positive feeling too. Like, I love that feeling.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah. Athletes, you talk to any athlete. I mean, Tom Brady's been playing football since 1800s. If you talk to him, I mean, I'm sure he'll tell you before the game feels that like nervous energy. You know, I was like that as an athlete. I love it. You know, when I'm about to get on stage, you know, it's the energy of the crowd. There is something to that. They always say, like, as soon as you don't feel that, you should walk away from whatever you're doing.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, any shows in Chicago, like, what are your favorite local shows that you saw as far as country artists here, whether it's at Bub or Joe's or wherever? I know you were there for Garth.
Given. Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I had a chance to sit down with Garth for 10 minutes in that little green room at Joe's on Weed. You've been in there. It's rainy. And we had our camera crew set up. He walks in and he shakes your hand, looks you in the eye, and you feel like you've known this guy for 20 years. He is so just down to earth and normal. And you're thinking, this is the guy, you know, like, this is the guy that has sold, you know, more albums than anybody in country music as a solo artist. And he was so normal and so cool. And I had mentioned to him that my pops, you know, plays music and sang in dive bars, you know, because he was releasing that song Dive Bar.
Right.
And he was just so awesome about it. Every he would look you in the eye, he would address you by name. And then to see him up close, I mean, people are paying hundreds of, you know, and thousands of dollars to be able to do what you get to do for free because it's your job.
Right.
And that show I will never forget. I mean, I've seen some pretty good ones. And Joe's on Weed has had some great artists in there. I mean, everybody from Zach Brown Band to Darius Rucker. But seeing Garth up close is pretty wild.
Garth is so normal and down to earth that people think it's fake. Like, that's right. People think that it's all an act because he's just so normal and nobody's like, there's no way. There's no freaking way.
Yeah. Did you watch the documentary on Netflix on him?
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so good.
I didn't realize how emotional he was though. Right. He's like really emotional guy.
Yeah. You know, I feel like you have to be, right? When you have one, I guess, the life experiences, but when you really listen to the songs that he writes and the full range, I guess, of genres within his genre that he writes, I mean, he lets it out, man. It's like, it's got to be therapeutic for him.
Yeah, he does. And to see him on stage perform, you talk about having a good time up there. I mean, if he fakes it, he's the best faker in the world, because every single show, and I've gotten to see him perform a few times, and I've seen him on TV a lot. He just always has that big smile on his face. I mean, even in the pouring rain when he was at, you know, Notre Dame Stadium, he was just like having a blast, you know. He's got to be up there with the greatest country performers ever.
Yeah, and to get to see him at a place like Joe's, that's super cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Joe's is a staple, and I just hope that places like that are going to be able to survive so we can have that live music feel again. I mean, all those places, I think, are in jeopardy right now.
Yeah, it's a scary part about all that is there are some places that people don't realize or maybe took for granted that they're just there, right?
Yeah.
And
so I know we're interviewing theaters right now on our show. We're interviewing restaurant owners. I mean, everybody is in this kind of scary time. I mean, you saw Improv Olympic went out of business, and they were just around here for like 30 years. So, you know, the performing arts as a whole is just in such a tough situation right now. I just hope that we can get through this so we can get back to live music. And I think that's what last night watching the award show kind of really reminded everybody of what we missed.
I agree. That's a great point. I think that last night was a good, probably one of the best PSAs you could have had.
Absolutely. So, hey, why don't we start listening to the doctors and scientists and start getting on the same page so that we can get through this.
That would be fantastic for all of us, because I think we all want to get back on stage and see the live shows for sure, man.
Absolutely, Scotty.
That's awesome. Well, thanks for calling. You know what's going to be cool is I'm going to be able to air some of this, and then I can throw the rest on a podcast, and we can post and have some fun with it. And yeah, I'd love to dive more into just chatting with you on another podcast about your music and your life and your path and journey. I think you got a lot of messages and a lot of experience to share. It's cool.
Yeah, I would love to. Hey, anytime, Scotty. And we got to get you back on our show too.
Yeah, that'd be so much fun. I had a blast last time.
Oh, you were great, man. The dancing too is fantastic. But I will I'll mention you to my producers as soon as I get done here, and we'll get you in the calendar.
Cool.
But I'll have to send you some pictures of my dad's band. So they opened for like Sonny and Cher and the Beach Boys in the 60s, and then the song was popular, so Quentin Tarantino put it on Pulp Fiction. So my dad got a platinum album like 30 years after he released the song.
That's
crazy.
So cool. How many people could say they have a platinum album anyway?
I know, right? Right? Yeah.
What's the name of your stuff too on that's on Spotify to find it?
If you just search my name, it'll come up. But This Is Country is the newer song. But I'm gonna actually release a new song that's not super country, but it's kind of different genre, like we were talking about.
Right.
So I have that, and I have Chicago by me too. But I think I'm a much stronger singer in This Is Country because it's newer. You know, I'm still developing as a singer, I think.
Well, good thing for you, I search your name once a day. So I just Google you.
There's actually a music video in the link in my Instagram. Check that out.
Oh, super cool.
Yeah, we did it partly at Jim Peterick's house, you know, from Eye of the Titan. He's a good friend, so he let me use his house.
Yeah, that's right, because we were all at, what's it called? At the Woody Foundation.
Yes. Exactly. That's how I got him there.
Yeah, where you were again on stage playing.
Of course, never saw a stage I didn't love.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I'm gonna cut some pieces out and throw it on about 3:40. I'll shoot you like, or I'll tag in like a little image and stuff, and I'll throw it on social and stuff.
Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, I'll repost whatever you put up.
Right on. Man, I appreciate it. Yeah, I love your perspectives on things, man. When we can, get a drink and hang out, and maybe I want to come do a workout with you.
Dude, I'm so in.
All right.
That's getting me through COVID.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, see you, brother. Bye.